Oh, the favor of the Lord. How do you know when God's speaking to you? Some of you will remember this. There was a commercial years ago by an investment firm. It was called E.F. Hutton. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. How many of you remember that commercial? I know I'm dating myself. The young people are going, I have no idea what you're talking about. It was an old commercial. They made themselves a lot of money on one commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. They'd have a couple people sitting in a restaurant talking at a table and everything going on like normal. And someone would say, well, my investor says. And the other one would say, well, my investor is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and the whole restaurant would just freeze. The cooks, the waitress, and they'd all lean in because E.F. Hutton is speaking. They had commercials where they're in a big stadium and a football game's going on. Two guys up there, well, my investor is E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton says, and the whole football game, and everybody stops and leans to listen because when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. The idea was, we know so much about money that you better pay attention to what we're saying. We know what we're talking about. Well, here it is. You get some good advice, you get some bad advice, but when someone talks, who do you listen to when the storms of life come up? Who do you listen to when things happen? I want to tell you about Bob and Larry, two guys that listen to some advice. And how do you know if it's good advice when God is speaking or when you ought to get off the ice? There's no fish in here. How do you know when it's good advice or bad advice? And Bob and Larry, they lived in the Midwest. And one day a guy came to this farmer and he said, Bob, I've got an idea for you. And his name was John Hoffman and his buddy Jim Fairs. And they said, Bob, we got an investment deal for you that can't fail. We're going to build a hotel, and we'd like you to be a part of it. And he says, okay, how much is this going to cost me? And they said, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get off the ground. That's everybody's investment. He says, that sounds like a good deal. They walked him through this plan. He said, that sounds like sound advice. Have you ever been there? Someone said this to you? And so he's going to go ahead and get involved in this brand new, out in the Midwest, out in the middle of nowhere. He's going to get involved in this ground level, build a hotel. They want to open up chains of these, but they want to build one. And so Bob says, I'm in. And as a farmer, what's $10,000? Well, his brother Larry came to him and said, Bob, I don't think that's such a good idea. $10,000 is a lot of money. I'm not sure this is a good investment. So to the advice of his brother now, he goes back to these guys and says, you know, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to invest $10,000. I'm not going to get in on the ground level. Maybe that's not such a good idea. And so he backs out of this, and these guys go on to open up their very first hotel. You know the name of it. The very first one in Aberdeen, South Dakota, is the Super 8 Hotel. He did not invest $10,000 into it. Well, Jim and John and his brother Mick, who I went to high school with and graduated in a class of 49, Mick Fairs, ground level, open up the very first Super 8 Hotel. And, of course, you know the rest of the story. A few years ago, these guys sold their shares to the Japanese for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And they're doing quite well. Bob, on the other hand, who was talked out of it by his brother Larry, or I should say Bob, my father, and my uncle Larry, who talked him out of getting in on the ground level of this investment thing, I would have been the inheritance of the Super 8 Motel. Instead, I'm the inheritance of the No-Tel Motel and my father, who missed out on some great advice. How do you know when you have good advice? How do you know when you have bad advice? There's a lot of people out there that will tell you things. And I love the Apostle Paul. He's been arrested. He's on his way to Rome. And as they're on their way to Rome, they're sailing in the Mediterranean. He's being guarded by a centurion. Now, I want you to know something. Paul is a sound man. He's a good businessman. In fact, the Apostle Paul, we know he's a Pharisee of Pharisees. He's a lawyer of lawyers. He's a very up-and-coming kind of guy. He really, in everything he's done, has done well. Good advice. He's with a centurion under arrest. Now, a centurion is a Roman soldier who's over 100 men. He's very well trained. He knows his life very well. He knows his duty. He's a centurion. He's got him under arrest, and they're sailing. Now, you have the story. As they're sailing along the northern seaboard of the Mediterranean, they come to a place called Fair Haven. As they're docked in Fair Haven, it says the time had passed that the season is changing. And they have a decision to make. They get some advice. Should we sail on or shouldn't we? It's storm season. And if you know anything about the Mediterranean, if you saw the video of the great cruise liner that was almost capsized by 30-foot waves just a couple of months ago, you know the Mediterranean could be pretty violent. And they have a decision to make. Well, they get some advice. And we've got to decide if we got good advice, bad advice, or godly advice in our lives. And the Apostle Paul, the first thing that happens is they get some bad advice. The Apostle Paul says this, if you look at verse 10 and 11. It says, "Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss." Now, that's some pretty good advice. When you have someone come to you and say, "You know what, I don't think we ought to set sail. This is going to be a bad deal. I'm just telling you, this is going to be a bad deal from the get-go." Have you ever heard anybody say that to you? And what do? You go, "I'm not going to listen." How many times your parents have given you advice? So Paul gives some advice, and in verse 11 it says this. It says, "But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship." You know what? I want to help you out here. Here's what bad advice is. How do you know you're getting bad advice? Well, number one, I think it's important to know, if you're getting bad advice, it's not scriptural. That's the first way to know whether you're getting good advice or bad advice. If it's not in the Bible, if it's not a God thing, you should not do it. I hear people all the time giving advice. People give me advice. As a pastor, I get a lot of advice. Well, pastor, you ought to. Sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, "God told me." And right away, my red flags just go up. I go, "God told you. Wow, God told you. Okay, well, God told you. What did He tell you?" And then they'll tell me something. And I'll say, "God didn't tell you that." "Well, how do you know that?" "Well, because it's not scriptural. That's how I know that." "Well, how do you know what's in the Bible? Who died and made you boss?" I said, "Well, Jesus died, and I'm the pastor, so that makes me boss." "No, that's not true. That's not what I say." You're going, "Real? Easy now. That's not scriptural." What does the scripture say? If you want to know something that will help set you free from a lot of heartache of knowing good and bad advice, if you'll turn over to Jeremiah chapter 23, there's a verse tucked away in the Old Testament that is beautiful. It happens all the time today in relationships, in business, and in church. In Jeremiah chapter 23, you have to understand, Jeremiah is a tremendous prophet. He is not always the bearer of good news, but he is always the bearer of God's word. It says this in chapter 23, verse 25. "I've heard what the prophets say who prophesy in my name. They say, 'I had a dream. I had a dream.'" If you've ever had someone come to you and say, "Well, I think the Lord wants you to do this." Or someone will come and say, "Well, the Lord told me to tell you." Can I just say, that's a dangerous, dangerous thing. You need to be very careful and make sure it lines up with Scripture. This happened then, and it still happens today. And if you go on to read, it says this. "They had a dream. 'How long will you continue,'" verse 26, "'in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy delusions in their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has a word speak faithfully.'" Let the one who has a word, has my word, speak it faithfully. It's time to speak things faithfully. I have people sometimes, not long ago, I had a couple in my office and they came to me and they said, we need counseling. I said, okay. We sat down, we started counseling, and I had the woman look at me and she said, "I've been a Christian for 32 years and God wants me to divorce my husband." And I said, "Oh, really? The Bible says, let the prophet speak what the prophet wants, but then let someone faithful stand up and say my word." And I said, "What do you mean God wants you to divorce your husband? Has he cheated on you? No. Does he beat you? No. Does he abuse you mentally? No." I said, "Well, why are you divorcing him? I don't like him anymore." I said, "Well, gosh, that's... talk to my wife on any given Monday. What do you mean she doesn't? You don't like him anymore? Well, he doesn't groom himself the way he used to, and he doesn't take a bath all the time." I said, "You're telling me you God said you want a divorce, and he said okay because your husband stinks." Really? Well, I've been a Christian for 32 years, and I just don't love him anymore. I don't find him attractive. I don't find him intimate. I just don't find him. I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Let the Word of God come right forth. That's bad advice. I don't know what God you're talking to, but that's not the God of the Bible. The Bible says, and the two shall become one flesh, and let no one separate them. He hasn't been unfaithful to you. Which if you wanted to get a divorce, I'd encourage you to get counseling instead. He's not beating you, which I tell you to go to a home, get out of the house. He stinks. Can you show me in Scripture? Well, I've been a Christian for 32 years. I said, well, I'm sorry. I haven't been a Christian that long. You've been a Christian longer than me. But I'm going to tell you what trumps being a Christian longer. And that's the Word of God. That is bad advice. That's not biblical. I had someone come up to me and they said, I'm supposed to get married to this guy. We're engaged. And I said, no, you're not. He said, how do you know? I said, you've been dating for 7 days. He just broke up with another person that God told him to marry. He was engaged a couple days before this, and he's been married 3 times. He's 22 years old. You want the Scripture? I'll tell you the Scripture. The Bible says don't let men come in and prey on weak-willed women in the church. I said, I'm not here to play games. I'm here to tell you, stop following bad advice and get into the Word of God. My father should have jumped into Super 8. Now, that's not either here or there. That doesn't make us spiritually, but that sure would have been good financial advice. My buddy Mick Thayers, we talk all the time. I said, when you're in Michigan, look me up on your private jet, bring your golf clubs, and we'll go golfing. Graduate 49 people, and you're worth a couple $100 million because you open up a hotel. God help us follow His Word. He's given us sound advice. But so often, God doesn't know anything about relationships. I bet He does. I'll bet He knows a whole lot more about marriage than we do. And I'll bet He wants your marriage to be blessed. So stop following unsound advice. Bad advice. It's not scriptural. He knows a lot about money too. You know, recently I heard that Greece is going under. You know, Europe made this whole union with the euro and all these nations are now locked in. And Greece just went crazy spending. They have no financial plan. And I just heard this week, here's the solution. The euro, the people over the common European market or whatever it is, I'm not sure, the nine or whatever it is, here's what they're doing. They got to bail them out. They're going to give them $1 trillion. Now, I know you want to know, well, Pastor, what do you think about that? Thank you for asking. I'd like to give you my opinion. The Scripture says that's bad advice. Well, how do you know that's bad advice? Because the Scripture says so. The Bible's very clear. Do not throw pearls before the swine. Wait a minute. I was thinking about it this week and said, Lord, is that a good thing to throw money at a bad economic thing and call that good? We're going to stimulate this thing. We're going to give you $1 trillion. And here's what the Lord spoke to me about through Scripture. The Bible says very clearly you're not supposed to do things like that. Why? Well, if you had 2 sons, and one son is very good financially, just does great, works hard, makes money, saves money, wise investments, takes care of life. You got another son that just spends and spends, is reckless. Some of you are going, hey, that's my family, stop talking. And you got a son that's just reckless, that just bankrupt, can't take care of 2 cents, doesn't have anything to show for it, just doesn't have any responsibility. And you say, son, you've come to me because you are just destitute. Your life has fallen apart. We need to do something. You go over to your other son and say, son, I need some of your money. He says, no, you can't have this. I'm not asking you. I'm taking it. I'm taking it over and giving it to your brother to help him out. Here's $1 trillion. You've just rewarded bad behavior and punished good behavior. That is not biblical. I know how much some people say, well, that's just not scripture. That's just not Christian. We ought to do something. You know what? No, it is Christian. People don't quote the Bible. Bad advice will corrupt a lot of people. Bad advice will ruin a lot of nations. Why is that not? Well, Jesus addressed it. Here's what He said. Jesus Himself said these very words. I love when people become theologians. Well, if we're going to be compassionate, well, there's a word, compassion, that means to tie your boat alongside of another boat and bring them into harbor because they're sinking in the storm. It doesn't say throw all your cargo out in the ocean and hope they find it. That's not compassion. That's recklessness. That's bad advice. Jesus said, to him who has, even more will be given. If you've been faithful servant in small things, I'm going to bless you in even bigger things. You who were unfaithful in the little things, even what you have, I'm taking away and I'm going to give it to him. Shame on you. Come on, folks, let's read our Bibles. Let's understand what Scripture says. Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound very kind. Well, let me throw another one out to you. My brother called me up the other day. He says, boy, Detroit ought to be the cleanest city in the world. Is it? I said, no. He says, I know, I just saw it on the news out here in the Dakotas. He says, man, is that a scary looking place. 1 in 4 houses burned out, ready to be tore down. I said, yeah. He goes, I said, what do you mean it ought to be the cleanest city? He goes, they were just talking. They said 60% of Detroit citizens are on welfare. The government takes care of them. He said, they ought to get out and work 2 hours a day doing something, painting, cleaning, planting flowers. Well, that doesn't sound very compassionate. No, but it sounds very biblical. Jesus, the Bible says, he who does not work does not eat. Oh, that's in the Bible. See, sometimes we get bad advice. Well, let's just throw our money away. We ought to not just throw our money out. Now, should we feed the hungry? Absolutely. We buy food trucks by the galore. We fed over almost 5,000 people this last Christmas. Why? Because that's what the Bible says to do. But we don't do it in a foolish way. We're not out there trying to put people dependent on us. And we're not out there saying, we really want to tie people into the Lord. We want to share Jesus with them. We're trying to let them know, hey, there's hope. We want to teach them more about this faithfulness. Let's not get caught up in throwing $1 trillion away and calling it Jesus. There's a lot of advice out there. But can I tell you, if it's not scriptural, it's bad advice. In your relationships, some of you want to get married soon. Can I tell you? Make sure it's scriptural. Some of you trying to make business decisions, make sure it's scriptural. You're trying to enter into agreements and figure out what to do with your money, make sure it's scriptural. Follow the Lord, and you'll go from bad advice to the second thing. I love this. By the way, if you look at verse 11, it says this in bad advice. The centurion didn't listen to Paul. He listened to the ship's captain. Please take this for what it's worth. Just because someone's an expert does not make it good advice. Okay? Check Scripture. Just because your pastor says it, don't just swallow it. Check the Scripture. Okay? They're people. Doctors don't always get it right. I meet people all the time. When doctors say, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do, I watch people walk out of their hospital room with 3 weeks to live, and they're still living years later. I've watched people in hospital rooms saying, you're perfectly fine, go home. And they got back to work. Honestly, I had a friend down here at a jewelry store. He got back to work at 10 o'clock after an 8 o'clock appointment for his heart. And he fell over dead of a massive heart attack with a clean bill of health. I want you to know, just because they're experts, they're still human. Where do you get your advice? When the storm comes, what voice are you going to listen to? I'm going to thus saith the Lord. That's where I'm going. Bad advice. Well, let's go to good advice. What's some good advice? I love the advice Paul says. Go to verse 21. This is great. This says for 14 days the ship is just battered. In fact, the ship is so bad that they're throwing ropes down. They're catching them up on the other side. They're holding on to rope, holding on to the wood, trying to make sure things don't fall apart. 14 days. And here's what Paul says finally after 14 days. Verse 21. This is good advice. After the men had gone a long time without food, you think, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice. I told you so. How many of you have ever been told by your parents, I told you so? How many of you you say to your kids over and over, just listen to what I'm saying. Grandparents, can I tell you, listen, grandkids, if you have grandparents, you ought to go to them and say, you've lived a long time. I'll bet you have some good advice. I'll bet there's times when your parents have said, I told you so. But what do we hear so often? See, good advice isn't godly advice, but it's not bad advice. Somewhere in the middle. Because here's good advice. How many of you have gotten good advice and you said, well, that's too bad? I mean, think about this. Here's good advice. The Surgeon General has determined that smoking may be hazardous to your health. Ah, what does the Surgeon General know about cigarettes? Don't drink and drive. Ah, what do they know? I can handle another one. I mean, there's some good advice out there. Don't text while you drive. I think that's pretty good advice. Hey, don't check that outlet while you're standing in the bathtub. I kind of like that one. Or how about this? On your irons. I can't believe they have to put this on there, but they do because we're people. On an iron. Guys, you're just going to have to just unplug here for a minute. Ladies, on an iron. It says, on your iron, do not iron while wearing clothes. It says that on your irons. I think that's pretty good advice. Especially if you have metal buttons. That's good advice. But you know what? Someone did it because they had to put a label on there. Don't worry, I got the crease in my pants. Somebody had to do this. I hope you're not in here. We'll know in August when we do our beach service, if you have this little burn in your leg shaped like an iron, we'll go, there he is right there. Good advice. Good advice is good. It's scriptural, but oftentimes ignored. We've all had good advice that's been ignored. It's not what we have, but it's what we do with it. I love this scripture in 2 Chronicles 16:9. Let's take a little turn here. Here is good advice. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord are looking about the whole earth, back and forth, looking for someone whose heart is right towards Him, that He might show Himself strong in their behalf. And I just mixed the NIV with the King James Version with the New American Standard. Some of you are going, that's not what my Bible says. I looked up all of them to get the full meaning of this verse. Here's what it says. God is looking for someone to say, right here. And God says, I'm looking to pour out my blessing on you. That's what that scripture means. That's good advice. The Bible has great advice. God is looking for some volunteers, and He's going around the whole earth looking for somebody who would raise their hand and say, God, stop looking right here. You want to show your power? Start here. Who wants God to show His power on their behalf? I don't know. Anybody in here taking on that one? That's what I want. Anybody want a powerful marriage, a powerful job, a powerful testimony, a powerful home, a powerful church? You know what is amazing? Every church in America, every church in this community ought to be growing. You know why? Because we got God who's just looking for a church to go, right here, anoint this one. Put your blessing right on top of it. God is just looking for a church to do that. Think about this. There are churches that don't want this. And God just takes His blessing. He moves on. Every church, you know why every church ought to grow? Here's why every church ought to just be exploding. Is when you come through these doors, you get to hear a message that you don't get out there in the media. You get to come into this place that you don't get in your high school or junior high. You get to come into a place where you get to hear, no matter what's happening, it's going to be all right. Jesus Christ is on the throne. That's what you get to hear. The church ought to explode. It doesn't matter what's going on in the economy. My God is seated on the throne. He is high and lifted up. And the train of His robe fills the temple. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. We've got a message that the world refuses to hear. People ought to be flocking to it. Churches ought to be growing. God says, I just want to do something great. I wonder if there's a church out there that would just like to walk outside and raise their flag and say, just in case you didn't see us, we're right here. Who wants that blessing in their life? How about this? No church wants it? How about a house? Why don't you just tell God where you live? 3713 Lowton Drive, God, your eyes are looking about the whole earth, looking for someone whose heart is right towards you, that you might show your power on their behalf. God, have you seen where I live? Would you just pick my house and show yourself powerful in my home, with my kids, with my wife, in my house, in my finances, in my marriage? I don't know about you, but my God is just looking for a volunteer. Why don't we all just step up and say, God, right here. You don't have to look any further. You know, God is, it just blows my mind that God's anointing seems to do this. It goes from one church to another, and He just kind of moves it. He says, how about you guys? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And at some point, they just quit. They just quit seeking out what they started seeking. And you know what that is? Get ready, folks. Grab onto the ship. There's a storm brewing. That's what Paul said. He said, you should have listened to me. There was a storm. And guess what? There's a storm. You're either in one, you're coming out of one, or you're going into one. That's what I know about storms. You say, that sounds pessimistic. No, it doesn't. Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. But be of good cheer. I've overcome. I want grace to set sail into the storms of life, and we're going to see. The compass is set. I've got the wheel. Jesus is setting the compass. And everybody grab an oar and get ready. Let's row. And you say, what are we going to do? And here's what usually happens. The boat starts rocking in the storm. And you know what most people do? I'm jumping. And they jump. And you know what they do? I'm going to find the next blessing. I'm going down to this church. Is there a blessing here? People start chasing the blessing. And they go from church to church to church, chasing God's anointing. Oh, I think it's over here. I heard it's over here. Oh, this church has got something going. I think the blessing is here. Oh, let's go to that blessing. Oh, it's gone. It's over here. And people will jump from church to church looking for a blessing. Stop chasing the blessing. You'll never catch it. And start being the blessing, and then you'll bring it into the camp. Amen. Because here it is. If you say, me, God, guess what? The blessing's here and it's going to stay. And when the boat starts rocking, can I tell you something? Grab onto something. You know why you grab onto something? Because we're about to roll. You ever been in a storm and you've rolled? You're going under and you're going around. And I just say to you, grab on as tight as you can and get your breath. And when you come up the other side and you're coughing and hacking, at least you're holding on. We call that churchmanship. There's not a lot of that today. People see a boat wobbling and rocking in a church. Well, we're moving on. There's got to be a blessing somewhere else. Can I tell you something? God's looking for people to hold on and say, guess what? I'm setting sail. I'm doing scriptural stuff and I'm following it. And God, here we go. Aren't you tired of bailing in the storm when God's miracle and rainbow are just on the other side of the hurricane? Let's go through the hurricane. You're in it. You're heading for it, or you're just coming out of it. But as a church, know this, that's who we are at Grace. We're heading in it, we're coming out of it, we're right in the middle of it. And all I'm doing is looking for souls out there, saying there's another one floating, let's get them up, let's save them, let's get them on board. Come on, folks, let's clean them up, let's get them going. I met a man this week, and he shared a story with me that just rocked my world. He blessed me so much. He said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. What you're talking about, keep talking. He said, that covenant relationship of God working in and doing this, and He's just looking for people to do this. He said, I was in that place years ago. He says, I want to come in and meet with you. And I'll tell you, he says, I'm not going to burn up an hour of your life. I'm not going to burn. Is it okay to share that story, brother? Okay. Because I am. It blessed me so much. He said, Pastor, I was in the storm of my life, $750,000 in debt, no assets. Government was taking everything. I was in foreclosure. They'd already sold my land. He said, I was on my way down to Detroit to finish everything off, and somebody handed me a tape, and in one day, it changed my life. So I put that tape in, and here was the message. Stop living in fear and start walking in faith. He said, I've been walking in fear. And then a pastor said to him, and I thought, this is great advice. I love this advice. I take it. I receive this in my own life. He said, what are you going to give the devil next? You're going to give me your kids? You're going to give me your health? You're going to give me your marriage? He's taken everything. All your acreage is gone. Why don't you go back and tell the devil it's not his? He's on the wrong property, even though it's sold. He teased me on Sunday, said, I need to come talk to you. So all week I'm thinking about this. I can't wait to hear the rest of the story. And the rest goes something like this. He blessed me so much. He said, I went out there. There was snow out there. I walked out there, and on every inch of land, I walked 9 miles saying, Devil, this isn't your property. You can just go away. I'm walking not in fear anymore. I'm walking in faith. I'm just saying I'm in a covenant relationship with God. This is God's. Whatever He wants to do, I'm trusting Him. I don't have a thing, but I have God in my life. I'm not walking in fear. We need to start walking in that faith. He started walking in faith. And are you ready for this? He said within a couple of years, not only had that turned around, everything had been turned around. The FHA had to switch things around, got him his property back, his business turned around, he paid off every single bit of that debt in just a couple of years, $750,000. Can I tell you something? In one moment, to hear a message, you got to stop walking in fear and start walking in faith. Enter into the covenant relationship that God has for you. If He said it, He meant it. And He's just looking for someone to raise their hand and say, right here, if you want to camp, I'll pitch my tent right here. I'm going to drive the stakes in. God, let this be the place of your anointing. Regardless of what the health people say, regardless of what the financial people say, regardless of what the naysayers say, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. That almost sounds scriptural. You can almost say Hebrews 11. Faith is the evidence of things unseen, the certainty of things hoped for, the certainty of things hoped for. I'll tell you what. Why don't we all just say, enough is enough. Devil, I do not walk in fear anymore. I walk by faith. And you tell God your address and say, at this address, God, you just found someone whose heart's right towards you. Why don't you go ahead and whatever you want to do in this household. And I'll tell you what, we will see people are just looking. I'm a Christian. I tell that to everybody. It's like saying, I got a nice car. It works. It's great. My neighbors see me one day. I'm driving down the road, and I'm broke down. They drive by, and they see me. I'm out over my hood. I'm just standing there. And that's the more the regular experience of my Christian. I'm broke down most of the time. You know what? They drive by, and they go, why in the world would I want that vehicle in my life? Every time I see that guy, he's broke down. I thought God was supposed to be this covenant God who saved us, not just for heaven to avoid hell, but to give us life. Why are we waiting for heaven for the promise of God when the Scripture's full of them? We ought to be walking in that covenant relationship saying, God, I want to know everything You've said that I might walk in everything that You've said. And people might go, you know what? That's what I can't get in the world. There's the true God. And the churches, I'll tell you what, they'd be lined out here like a concert. You wouldn't have enough room to fit in here. Let's walk in that covenant relationship. Let's seek God for who He is. And instead of 35, 40,000 people last night, I sat in a Tigers game for 13 innings, screaming my lungs out, thinking I got to preach the next day, getting home at 2 o'clock, rooting for a guy to hit a ball. How about we scream our lungs out, rooting for other believers in this place that they might walk and get up and they could have the strength and you can have the courage and you can have the faith and you can have the blessing and other people will see your life and praise your Father in heaven. Let's walk in that faith. I tell you, the church, they talk about concerts. I'll tell you, the media will come out and they'll say, what is going on? Be like John Wesley, and they come up and they go, Mr. Wesley, it's 7 o'clock in the morning. We haven't even had our breakfast. We're out here with our newspapers. Why are there 25,000 people every morning coming out to this place called the Minefields, all covered in soot with their old clothes going into these mines? How come they come out to hear you speak? What are you doing? I love his response. I'm not doing anything. I just light myself on fire, and people come to watch me burn. That's the anointing of God. You walk in that, God is just simply looking for someone to step up. Good advice? How about godly advice? Here it is. Godly advice is this. You got bad advice, that's just not scripture. You got good advice, it's scriptural, but it's not heeded. Godly advice is scriptural, and we listen to it. We listen. These guys said, we're going to set sail in this storm. And usually we'll listen to the advice that just fits our impatient life. Whatever makes me feel good, that sounds good. That sounds good. I love this. Paul said to the centurion in verse 31, here's what godly advice is. Godly advice is the kind of advice that says, no matter what you think, God's going to do it anyway. So many times we try to think, we can think God's thoughts. The Bible says, God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts as the mountains are higher than the sea. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. I want His thoughts, not my thoughts. In fact, He's got a higher plan for me if I'll listen. Godly advice is scriptural and heeded. Even in your storms. You know what's amazing? Sometimes they say, I don't know why I'm going through this storm. I don't know why God keeps doing this. Paul was in Fairhaven. What a name for a place to be. Fairhaven. It just sounds like a tranquil place where kids eat lollipops and fairies dance with sugar plums. Fairhaven. We should stay here, he says. And the guy's like, I don't want to stay here one more minute with you. We're sailing. How many times God's given us good advice in our fair havens, and we went into the storm? God didn't put us there. How many storms are our fault? And are you ready for this? It doesn't matter if your storm is like a hurricane. He's my rock of ages. He's the anchor of my soul. He will make a way where there is no way. He is my God. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter what kind of storm you're in. I love this. God steps into the middle of that storm and He says, you tell these guys, they're blessed because of you. They will not die. Isn't that great? How'd you like people around you to be blessed because of you? Let your family be blessed because of you. Let your business be blessed because of you. Let your relationships be blessed because of you. And then finally in verse 31, it makes no sense. And if you're going to do godly advice, can I tell you, oftentimes it may not make sense to people. Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless, these guys are all jumping ship, by the way. They're going, this is it, we're going under. It's been 14 days, here we go, we're rolling. And they're going to jump ship, and Paul says this. They start lowering the lifeboats. Paul says to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved. Isn't that great? What? I'm not staying with this thing. It's going to fall apart and we're going to drown. He says, unless you stay. So listen to this. So the soldiers cut the ropes and the lifeboats fell away. Yeah, you're on a ship and it's sinking and someone says, just get rid of the lifeboat. Stay here with me. You're going to look at that person and go, you're crazy. I'm on the lifeboat. You know what? You don't know what lies ahead, but God does. Godly advice doesn't always make sense. 2 years ago, and I close with this, 2 years ago, we had our conference today. It's our four-year conference. Wrote down on a piece of paper. I found it the other day. I thought, I'm going to read what we were talking about 2 years ago. And I just wrote down, what does God have for our future? And I wrote down five little statements. This year, I didn't do that. If you come out for lunch, stay for lunch, please do, to hear what God has for us. I don't know. So just cut the ropes and come on out and have lunch and find out what I don't know. I'm inviting you on that ship. 2 years ago, I wrote down, we need more space, ? 2 years ago. Do we go next door or do we take both? 2 years ago. 2 years ago, there was a $500,000 daycare over here. Made about $433,000. I saw the books because she offered it to us last year and we said no and then opened up our own. She was very viable. Over here, well, we can't go over here because there was a gymnastics place over here and they were winning national championships. So why did I write that? I was like, I don't know, God, but I'm going to write that down. I'm going to share it with the congregation. I don't know. And I shared it with the congregation. And then last year, we took a huge leap of faith, which was a huge leap of faith. we went this way and we went this way. And if you're out here on a Wednesday night, you'll see 85, 90 kids over here worshiping God, getting to know Jesus. If you come out during the week, you'll see a daycare over here, preschool, that's full of kids learning about God, learning language, doing science and arts, learning to read and have social activities, and learning about God, and they go home and talk to their parents about it. We had no idea. Well, you can't do that in the middle of a storm. You can't cut your rope and let the life raft down. We got to save our money and we got to do this. I agree 100%. I would agree 100% until I'd go to Scripture and say, if God tells you to do it, you do it. I have no idea what the future holds, but I'm going to just share this. I believe God has something amazing here at Grace. I believe this year what God has been sharing and laying on people's hearts is absolutely mind-blowing. For 2 months I've been praying about something. I said, I don't think that's it, God. And then God has confirmed it. I said, I don't know how that's going to happen. But okay, God, if you're going to do that, you'll make it possible. I'm not worried about the possible. What I'm worried about is walking in that faith and not walking in that fear. That's the area that we have to be cautious in. God, if you said it, I'm going to do it. Every one of you, every day of your life, you face the fear and you face faith. The Bible says, fear not, 365 times. I think it's one for every day. Fear not. The Bible says, walk by faith. So I want to encourage you today, get ready for the harvest. There was another storm and his name was Jonah. Poor Jonah. God says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Good advice. And Jonah said, I don't like people in Nineveh. I'm going to Tarshish. I'm getting on a different boat. Bad advice. He got on that boat. Everybody's sinking in the storm. And they said, what do we do? And Jonah says, throw me overboard. Good advice. A fish swallows him up for 3 days and spits him out on the shore. He didn't want to go to Tarshish. He didn't want to have a harvest. Why don't churches want to have a harvest? I don't even like people in Nineveh. I hate Ninevites. God, I know if you send me there, they're all going to say, we're sorry, forgive us, God. They're going to get saved, and you're not going to destroy them. And frankly, I don't like those people. God goes, I got some good advice for you. Go there or else. He goes, fine, or else. And the or else about got him killed. The good advice got him on the land. Now he's been in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Do you know what fish stomach acids do to the human skin? He's bleached white like a ghost. God not only got his way, but he got it good. Because now he's not just walking through as a prophet. He looks like a ghost walking through town going, God wants you to repent or else. And people are going, what? We're going to repent? You bet we're going to repent. The whole city gets saved. Because you got a guy walking through town like a ghost. Sometimes we get stubborn. But God is just looking for a volunteer to say, right here, I'm ready for a harvest in my life. God, I'm going to walk in that harvest. That's going to be my life. I want to pray with you. Father in heaven,